Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 11, and let's all read together verses 1 through 7, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Our Firm Foundation. He's the foundation that God spoke before the whole entire world was spoken into existence. And we know him now as a firm foundation. He is the rock. Can I get an amen? Amen. But King David, he, in a psalm, in a song unto him, understood that if the foundations are destroyed, that a whole nation could collapse. And this is one of the things that you and I need to be praying for in the days that we live in, is that our foundations, biblical foundations, are not destroyed. And right now, we see this through our nation. We see that the name of Jesus is removed from the public square. It's removed from the schoolhouses, and it's removed from the courthouses. And so we must remind each other, and we must proclaim that Jesus is our firm foundation. And so let's read the scriptures together, starting with verse 1. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire, and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. One of the things we just read, especially there in verse 6, upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire, and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. One of the things that we need to be praying for this nation is the last thing we want to see is a nuclear war. Because that is a burning wind that would come. Listen, when you have a nation that has aborted over 60 million babies, when you have a nation where all states now says that same-sex marriage is legal, we look to the Word of God and we find that it is an abomination unto God. And if we truly believe God's word, if we are truly born of God, then we will stand on the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will not be any compromise. Can I get an amen? So we need to understand that God's word is a stabilizer in our lives. How many believe that you need God's word? Yes, listen, after the shouting, after the singing, after the running, after all the things that we do to honor and worship God, the one thing that will stand is his word. Because his word, the Bible says, is forever settled in heaven. But you and I must be reminded on a continual basis that we are the children of the book. You see, the enemy says, oh, those are the people of the book. That should be a compliment, because we are about our Father's business. Can I get amen? Because the Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. And so if we are not standing with Christ, there is no gray area. Then we're standing in the camp of the enemy. And so let this message resonate in our heart and our minds this morning. So saints, within its pages, we find comfort, strength, and guidance for every situation in life. But if we choose to live without God's word, the Bible, we won't have the assurance of God's promises to help us through hard times. And there are hard times right now. Ask the people in Ridgecrest. I don't know about you, but I felt that earthquake on Friday at 8 o'clock. I felt like I was on a boat. And I felt queasiness. And yet, when I turned on the news, there were houses going up in flames. We live in perilous times. And so these are some of the most difficult days we have ever faced in our country. It seems like, saints, we've lost our oneness, our stability, our strength, and care for one another. Now our nation, saints, is suffering from uncertainty, uneasiness, conflict, and distrust. We see that when you turn on the news, you see the right and the left, you see the conservative and you see the liberalism, you see the progressiveness that's taken place. But I truly believe that if we who are called out by his name will humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from even our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. So saints, if we ever needed to rely on the scripture, there's no better time than today. Can I get amen? Today. Such times should lead us to cry out to God. Asking him, oh God, give us wisdom. Give us courage and obedience to do what's right. Paul wrote to Timothy that we need to be a workman, rightly dividing the word of God. Look what it says right up here. It says, be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And this is what we see in the day that we live in. On television and movies, there's nothing wholesome anymore. It's all babbling. It's all profane. No longer are the days of Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver. Those days are gone. And now you see these programs with their own propaganda, their own agenda, and a lot of it comes straight out of hell. So King David understood these things. This is why he wrote this psalm. And David was familiar with difficult situations. And through them all, he learned to trust in the Lord. Saints, this is the time that we need to trust in the Lord. When I was rocking back and forth on Friday night, I think, God, I trust you. Lord, I trust you, God. Is this going to stop right now, God? My fish and my tank were just going like, whoa. I ran in the bedroom. I said, honey, we just had an earthquake. And she goes, huh? I had to wake you up. Maybe we had to take cover. I don't know. But I wasn't just going to let you sleep through it. Listen, if I was asleep and things were falling apart, I would love for someone to wake me up. Can I get an amen? So saints, when he faced Goliath, his confidence was not in himself, but in the faithfulness of God. He was just a kid, a little ruddy kid. And yet the whole entire Israeli camp, all the Israelites, they were afraid of one man. And who knows if they even outnumbered the Palestinians. I call them the Palestinians, but they were back then called the Philistines. They just changed the name. This is the same folks that just hate the people of God. And so his confidence was not in himself, but in the faithfulness of God. And when King Saul became jealous of David and tried several occasions to even kill someone that he was jealous of, David, he fled for his life. He hid out in the wilderness, and God was giving him these songs of praise. God was inspiring him. God was letting him know, I'm in control of all things. And so when we see the nation in chaos, we need to know that God is still in control. Can I get an amen? But God is looking for us to be his spokesman, to be the voice. We are to be like John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. And when we speak and when we cry out, the enemy doesn't like it. But guess what? We're planting and we're watering and allow God to give the increase. And so Psalm 11 that we opened up this morning, it gives us a glimpse into David's heart at a time when his world was falling apart. And when his world would fall apart, God would give him songs of praise. God would give him insight and wisdom. Let me just say this. When your world falls apart as a believer, God will put a song in your heart. He will not allow you to remain in despair and displaced. He will lift you up, for he is the lifter of our head. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, yes, he is. And so his main question is found right here in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? God is challenging us this morning because we are now the righteousness of Christ by faith. Come on, go back to your world when we were walking as unbelievers, or let me just say this, not born again. And we were walking the course of this world, and then God came. He interrupted our life and he drew us to the cross. And then he cleansed us. He washed us in his blood. He gave us his spirit. And now he said, pick up your cross now and follow me. And now that we have now been imputed upon the righteousness of Christ, we have one thing to do. And that's to continue to follow him and his will. Can I get amen? Because his will not fail us. The plan he has for us will not fail us. I hope you know that. And what God started in you, he will complete it. He started things in me 30 years ago, and he's still working on me. He's still working on you. And so when everything is crumbling beneath us, saints, we must remember that God's word is our true foundation. No matter what we face, scriptures assures us that we are children of God. How many believe that? Amen. Every hand in here went up. Because we are the children of God. And he promised us to see us through. Through thick and thin. He promised us to see us through. But one of the things that we always must remember is to be diligent. To be diligent. To be diligent. Because if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can they do? And one of the key things is to pray. To pray. To pray. To pray. To pray. God's given us power to pray. I hope you know that. And so we must be diligent. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Say that with me. Not be ashamed. Listen. When we're in this culture that we live in, God is saying, this is not the time to be ashamed. This is not the time to be silent. This is the time, hallelujah, to rise up in faith. And the things that God loves, we are to love. And the things that God hates, we are to hate. Can I get amen? There's no gray area. There's no compromise. There should never be any compromise. And so it doesn't mean, saints, that we won't experience suffering or disappointment. But the Lord walks with us in every step of the way. How many believe that since the day you got saved, you know that he was with you, been with you? Can I get an amen? Listen, even when our hearts weren't right up before him, he was with us. He never cast us off aside. He remembers us, even in our dilemmas, our distresses, even when we choose not to do his will. He's with us. Can I get an amen? Don't you love God that he doesn't give up on us? He knows our frailty. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our mental stability. He knows every aspect of our being. And yet, he chooses not to leave us. Why? Because there's purpose in your life. There's purpose in my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so his word is our compass and guidebook for every hardship and heartache and problem. As long as we follow his instructions. How many know what B-I-B-L-E means? The Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible means. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Listen, when you bring home a brand new DVD player or something that's electronic, and nowadays there's so many brand new gadgets, and you, what plugs in here and what goes here? Well, if you don't read the manual, you may put your finger in something and go, but you need to read the instructions. Can I get amen? Well, God is saying, read the human manual for us, because it's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's for us humans down here who are very sinful to know how God saved us from our sin. Oh, yes. You know, this is the only book that calls us out and shows us what we're made of. All these other books and novels and fairy tales and wonderful nonfiction books and all, they're great, they're wonderful, but this tells us who we're made of, what we're made of, and how God has redeemed us. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, how many remember Amy Grant? I remember when I first got saved, I would listen to everything Christian, and God was sanctifying me, and I had to get rid of the R&B and the jazz, and I just wanted to. And one song particular 30 years ago was a song that resonated and still does, and it's found in Scripture. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember, she sung a song called Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet. Well, it came right out of Scripture. And at that time, I didn't realize that when you read God's word, is a light unto your feet. Meaning, as you continue to read God's word, God unfolds his word to you. And now he leads you and guides you. And what his purpose is not to lead you astray anymore. That you would walk toward the light. He is the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So if we continue to look at God as the light, guess what? The Bible says there's no darkness in him. And if he's all light, that's what I want to be drawn to the light. Why? Because his light is pure. It's holy. And as we draw close to him, guess what he does supernaturally? He starts to sanctify you. You see, sanctification doesn't happen overnight. But day by day, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you read his word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Now God starts stirring up in you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit starts stirring up in you. And you will now have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You will see the darkness as it really is now, and you will refrain. You will walk away from it. You'll say, no, 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 no. This doesn't work anymore for me. There'll be an internal conflict because the Spirit of God is saying, I have a better plan for you. Walk in my path. Walk in my light. And so that's why King David wrote, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you're following the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be failed by him. Can I get amen? He will see you through. So King David likened the foundation of a nation to that of a building. If a house is to last, it must be built on a strong foundation. Those of you know who the Calvani family, and they raised me up in the faith. And I remember when we went out to Hamul and they were looking for land, and we found land, and then we dropped oil on the land and we prayed. This was about 25 years ago. And Brother David Calvani, he's a contractor and a licensed blueprint developer. And so he blueprinted his whole entire home. And normally, when you lay the foundation, you use about 3 feet of concrete around the whole perimeter. He tripled it because he said that if an earthquake or a storm comes, it would be built on a firm foundation. And I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. That he was just using biblical concepts. That if you build your home in the natural, you must also build your home in the spiritual. Can I get an amen? That it must be built on a firm foundation. But I've seen so many homes tattered and destroyed because the Word of God is not their focal point. The Word of God is like an afterthought. There's no reading, there's no praying. There's like just day to day movies and going out and sipping on lattes. And yet the world around us is chaotic. And many of our friends and family members need to be saved for such a time as this. And this is why I truly believe the days that we live in right now, the foundations are being eroded. And we must stand in these last days. How many believe that? We must stand in these last days. Well, King David knew that. And if the foundation wasn't built on the Word of God, he knew that it will begin to crumble and the house will fall. In the same way, a nation whose foundation is weak cannot endure. Listen, our media here didn't tell us this, but how many remember, I believe it was 4 days ago, when Mike Pence was on his way to New Hampshire and he was called back by an emergency to come back to the White House? Well, you didn't catch the rest of the story. There were over 14 naval officers of the Russian army on a submarine that was spying out our region, was hit with an attack, and the Chinese are saying it was the Americans. Putin went back to Russia and called an emergency meeting. And right now, there is something in the air, and they're looking at us that we sent a cyber attack and took out 14 officers. Now CBS, NBC, but if you Google search this, it's all over the world, but it's kept from us. Saints, we're living in times of perilous times. And the last thing we want to see of what we opened up is a burning wind where nukes are flying off. But if the foundations are destroyed, then God has no other means but judgment. And that's the last thing I want to see. I still want to see my grandchildren graduate. How many of you want to see your grandchildren and great-grandchildren graduate and be productive in society? But if the church has stopped praying, if the church has stopped witnessing and has allowed the world to come in and infiltrate their own homes, then we did it to ourselves. We've done it to myself. And so, a strong national foundation consists of law and order. We know that. Justice, truth, morality, decency, integrity, fairness, trustworthiness. When these are abandoned, the foundation begins to crumble and the nation is in danger of collapsing. I love this nation. I was born here. I visited many places around the world. And there's no other place than old USA. God chose for you and I to be born in this nation. I'm so thankful that I'm not born in a third world nation where it's poverty stricken and they're under socialism and they're under dictatorship rule, where they can't even know when the next meal is coming. For some Americans here that are considered low income, they are a king and a priest to other people and other nations. We need to be thankful for this nation. We just celebrated our Independence Day. How many want to still remain independent? Can I get an amen? From tyranny. From ungodliness, from a dictator. The last thing I want to be is under a dictator's rule, where they'll come in and remove your Bibles and have you renounce your God. That's the last thing I want to see. That's the last thing I want to see for you. And this is why we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. Look what the Word of God says in Proverbs right up here. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. King Solomon understood this. He wrote it down. So when the righteous are ruling, we will rejoice. We will know that we have our liberties, our freedom. But when the wicked man rules, look what happened before this past election. For 8 years, there was a wicked man ruling. All 50 states have been overturned by the federal courts to mandate that same-sex marriage can now take place. That is wicked. I hope you know that. And if you know, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, let's not get political in here. No, I'm not being political. I'm being biblical. Can I get amen? Listen, Jesus was very political because he rebuked the religious sector of Israel. He called the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. He called them all whitewashed tombs, that they were dead men's bones living inside them. They looked very religious, pompous. They had the robes and the hats, and yet the people were starving. There was no compassion. There was no giving. They were just taking unto themselves. And that's why when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he had to drive out the merchants right there at the temple. Why? Because Jesus said, this is the house of God, and this is a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. Saints, question. How should we respond if the foundations are destroyed? Do we just go to more AMC movies and try to drown it out? Do we drink more lattes? Or better yet, this is now what's common. If you go to a restaurant and you see families at a restaurant or people, you know, whether it's crowded or not, this is how they communicate with one another.
And then instead of talking across, let me just text. This right here, I really believe there's good, but there's evil. Yes, we need communications, but this has taken away, I believe, the reality of what's taking place in this world. Because we drown ourselves with how many likes that I get today. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. So, question. How should we respond if the foundations are destroyed? Number one, we must turn to God. We must turn to Him. We must go to God. We must say, oh, God. And many of us can honestly say, including myself, there are times when, we grow cold in the things of God. And we forget what He has done for us. Never forget what He has done for you. Can I get amen? Amen. Never forget. Like David, we can choose to say, in the Lord I put my trust. This means we have our confidence in God and become attentive to His voice. Are you listening to His voice at times? Or you continue to wallow in things that you shouldn't be doing? He has given us unshakable and absolute truths in His word. And when we place our trust in what He has said, we will receive, saints of God, stability and direction for our lives. How many want directions? Listen, it's not about marching orders. I'd rather follow His lead than to have someone whip me from behind. And when we were in the enemy's camp, that's what He did. He whipped us to death. But when we came across and God saved us, the Bible says He now gently leads us to green pasture. No longer will we have to drink from a pond that has mildew and fungus. He has given us living water. Water to replenish us, to refresh us. And when we hear a message like this, God is refreshing you. He's stirring up in you what He expects from us. And all He expects is that we would walk in His ways, that we would hear His voice, and that we would be obedient children. Can I get amen? He's not looking to whip us to death. And even when we do sin, He doesn't crush us like a roach. Oh, I'm done with you. Aren't you so blessed that He doesn't, today I'm going to just take this one out because it's just so rebellious. Bam! He don't do that to us. He's long-suffering. He's patient with us, isn't He? Even in our darkest moment, He's right there saying, okay, are you done with that now? Come to Me now. Let Me cleanse you and wash you and turn from it. Because He speaks to us. How many hear His voice? Amen. Amen. I really believe He speaks to us in our spirit, but more so in His word. Thank you, God. And so, when the foundations are being eroded, we turn to God. But guess what some folks do? They do this. God says, don't run. Listen, okay, you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar. I get that. But don't run away from God. Run toward God. Can I get amen? Amen. I shared this analogy. I'll make it quick. But when I was just a brand new Christian, I remember last week Bishop Trout was here? Well, his father, Raymond Trout, he brought a powerful message. He said that when he was 9 years old, he would always be like a rebellious one as a child. And he would get his mother really mean, and the worst would come out trying to bring this child into obedience.
So how many know what a switch is? Okay, to me, it's just someone that chopped off a piece from a fishing pole. And those things, if they're coming with authority, they will leave a lump on your leg. Huh? Oh, yes. Well, there was one time where God gave him a revelation. Because every time he got his mama mad, she would pick up that switch and come after him. And when she would swing, the whole thrust of it would put a welt on his leg. So he learned something. Man, I can't run from her. I'm going to run to her. So as she came at him, he ran and he hugged her leg. And there was really not that much of a thrust no more. It wasn't a whoom and catching the tail end of it. It was one of these. And as he was crying and saying, "No, mommy, no, mommy," she dropped the switch. And she picked up the child and then started ministering to him. He found out. God showed him. Instead of running away from God, you run toward him. So if you catch yourself sinning, don't run from God. Run toward him. And say, "Oh God, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. I know I deserve punishment right now, but God, I'm crying out for mercy." And guess what? God is merciful. Can I get amen? God is merciful. People will tell you, "Well, no, you need to go to AA and you need to do this and you need to do that." No, I just need to get right with God. Can I get amen? My heart needs to be right with him. And when my heart is right with God, guess what? Things now start to fall in place. You will sense a freedom and a liberty. We sang the song Freedom, but can we actually enact that in our lives and truly be free in the things that God has called us to do for such a time as this? So don't run. And let me ask you this. Where can you run to? Huh? The Bible says that if you run to the mountain, he's there. If you run to the bottom of the ocean, guess what? He's there. If you run in a cave, he's there. He's always there. And if you remain in sin, the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. He's still right there waiting for you to repent and turn to him. Wow. When you get a hold of that, you'll say, "God, I want a deeper relationship with you. I don't want to go in those areas no more." Because you'll learn to love him. He wants a relationship with you. And so don't run, because King David said this: "How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" And what is King David saying? Listen, if you're in a quagmire, if you're being trapped in your own mind, whatever the sin may be, King David said, don't flee to a mountain. Run to God. Why? Because he is the bishop and the lover of our soul. He knows what's best for us. He'll do a better job in fixing us than the things in the world. I'm sorry, but Dr. Phil can't help you. Oprah can't help you. Dr. Spock can't help you. But Jesus can. Can I get amen? That little child just said amen back there. You say amen, brother. Brother Judah is in the house. Saying, yeah, you're that? Hey, listen, if a child can get it, how about us? So instead of trying to run from our difficulties, saints, we should run to God. He's all powerful and knows all of our struggles, and he knows every need. There is no stronger or safer refuge than Almighty God. He loves us and intends for us to stand strong and firm and true, even, saints, in the midst of hardship and suffering and loss, knowing that he's trustworthy. Listen, God did not promise us a rose garden. I hope you know that. He promised to save us, and he will complete it, because redemption was at the cross. Can I get amen? But it doesn't keep us exempt from trials and tribulations. And when we go through, we have to praise him, even in the valleys. Can I get amen? Some people are in valleys right now. Some people haven't even felt his presence in a while. And God is saying, well, you know what? Just turn to me. And let me pour fresh water upon you. But you have to come to that place where, you know what? The world doesn't excite me like it used to. I remember when I would go out in the world, and when I was in the world, and everything was exciting and everything. But now when I try that again, it's like water and oil. It doesn't mix no more. Why? Because we're new creations in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can I get amen? Amen. Yeah. We're brand new people now. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to be alive and be a Christian for such a time as this? Oh, yes. And so the foundations of our physical world may crumble. And we could lose every possession we own. I was doing this that night. And I was going, okay, God, is this the big one? Everything that I have here, is it going to just crumble now to the... Hey, you know what? Your thing, you don't know. But even then, the Lord would be sufficient to carry us through. Hey, all I know is this. Absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. Hey, when your number's up, it's up. You know, Araceli's brother's celebration of life service yesterday. The theme was, he was a big Padre fan. So they, you know, before they intend to cremate him, he was in a casket. It was an open casket. And all the people that were there, they were told to bring their Padre jerseys on. So they brought their Padre jerseys, and I get that, you know. And so God had to give me specific words for them. And so I said to them, because from what I understand through Araceli, before, even his friend, before he passed on, he sought the Lord. And he wanted to know about Jesus. And I truly believe Araceli made an impact on her brother's life. So I told them all. I go, yeah, you see him right now laying in this coffin right now. But let me just say this. According to the testimonies that I heard, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, I painted the scene. I said, everyone, just imagine right now. It's the bottom of the ninth. The score is 3-0. And the bases are loaded, and Manny Machado comes up to the plate. And then he swings, and he knocks a grand slam and wins the game. I said, right now, in heaven, he has knocked a grand slam because he's with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I go, that is the grand slam. That he gave his life to Christ. And that now he's rejoicing forevermore. And I thought that maybe the whole place, it kind of erupted. And they really thought that the Padres won. But we know our firm foundation. Can I get amen? So My next question is this: how does God respond when we turn to him? How does he respond? Number one, the Lord places us under his divine protection. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you, when you turn to the Lord and you don't run from him, he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. I will be the lifter of your head. I will protect you. Get out of that camp over there. That camp is no good for you. Come over here under my divine protection. When we are in a right relationship with him and walking in obedience and submission, he determines the limits of your trials and sufferings. Can I get an amen? This doesn't mean he'll remove all pain and trouble from our lives, but he guards us through it. And even if we lose our lives, he promises that we will immediately be in his presence. Hallelujah. Look what it says right here. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Listen, even death should not fear us. Can I mean, we should have no fear of death. Because as soon as I close my eyes on this earth, the moment I open them again, I will be with him in paradise forevermore. That's his promise to us. We are assured in the word of God. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. You see, when we turn to him, did you know that God is always available? God is available. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Listen, when you're in your 2-3 in the morning, catching your Z's, he's there watching over you. He's always there. He's watching every moment. Why? Because we are his beloved. Oh, yes. How do I know that? Because he says it right here. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And so he watches over all his creation. He looks at the unbelievers. And he looks at us as believers. And guess what? This is how good he is. He reigns on the just and the unjust. I have a neighbor next door. You know, they like to cumbia and party and, you know, and cause a ruckus next door. And you know what? And I'm friends with them, you know, and I share Christ with them and everything. And yet, when the rain comes, it rains on his yard too. God is still good. Can I get an amen? God is still good even to the unbeliever. That's how awesome God is. But when they come into the saving knowledge, whoa, that changes the whole dynamic in their lives. Just like he's changed the dynamic in our lives. How many are so blessed to know that you're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and heaven bound now? We're heaven bound. And guess what? Now there's a hell to shun. I hope you know we were headed there at one time. No, not me. Yeah, we were all headed there. But God's available. Saints, nothing is beyond his control. Can I get amen? And he is ready to hear our concerns, requests when we come to him in prayer. That's how he communicates with us. Whatever our needs may be, he has provided assurances and promises in his word. Oh, that's right. Look what God's word says. He says this: the Lord tests the righteous. We're going to go through testing. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So all these things that we see, God hates those things. And it's his time frame of judging them. We're not to judge them. The Bible says we've all been judged already. Can I get amen? That's why Jesus said, I didn't come down to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. I came to save them. Aren't you so blessed he came seeking you? He came to seek me? Thank you, God. That's right. And so from his divine perspective, he sees and knows everything, and he uses our trials to test us. We have no reason to fear evil because we are secure in our relationship with the Lord. He hates violence and promises that one day he will punish the wicked. So hold on and don't think bad about them. Pray for them. That's right. Pray for them. Pray for them. Look at what it says right here. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Let me tell you this. I'm going to say this. When God takes his church away, that's us. We're the bride of Christ. Can I get an amen? When he removes us from this planet, he's sending this upon the wicked. God's word is already forever settled in heaven. This is non-negotiable. You can't amend that. You can't even use an addendum. It's all forever settled in heaven. So when God spoke this, you could take it to the bank now. This is what's going to happen to a country or a people who chooses to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and to receive his grace and mercy. If they remain in this condition, this is the judgment that awaits them. Wow. How many of you are so blessed to know that he saved us? Thank you, God. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. What attitude, saints? What attitude should God's people have? What's our attitude like? No matter what our circumstances may be, you and I, we can believe God. Can I get an amen? It may seem as if he's inactive, but he's not. When situations get worse, he is not sitting in heaven wringing his hands. Oh my, what am I going to do? Everything's already set in motion. Everything's already in place. That's right. Therefore, instead of running, we should learn to wait upon. How many need to wait upon the Lord? How many of you been in a trial that was so atrocious that God just said, wait on me. Wait on me. I will see you through. Look what it says here. We must trust the Lord. Trust him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Trust that God can see you through. Look what King David said. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Look at this. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust him. Thank you, God. Somebody needs to be inspired this morning. Why? Because some of you are going through some really serious trials right now. Some of you are going through financial, emotional, relational. And God is saying, stand firm on the foundation of God. I will see you through this. He has seen me through many, many trials. Oh, yes. And one of the things that I love that God gave me years ago, and some of you have it written down on your refrigerator door. Some of you have it written in your Bible. Some of you maybe have a big giant poster hanging on your wall somewhere. But this is something that we should remind us time and time and time again. It's found in Psalms 91. How many have read Psalms 91? Can I get an amen? Well, look what God says. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you, what? From the snare of the fowler. You see, the devil comes as a fowler to try to entrap you, to try to ensnare you. He'll use drugs and alcohol. He'll use pornography. He'll use hatred. He'll use dissension. That's how he operates. But God says, I will rescue you from the foul and snares of the wicked one. Aren't you so blessed that God's looking out for our best interest? Surely he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You know, we think that pestilence is roaches where Western exterminator comes and removes your spiders and your ants and your... No! Pestilence in the Greek is diseases. Bondages. addictions. He delivers us from those things. Aren't you so blessed that he's looking out for our best interests? Look what it says. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. It was nighttime, and I was going back and forth like this. I go, oh, Lord, you remember Sanford and Son Elizabeth? Is this the big one? Oh, you don't remember that, do you? Amen. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness. You see, pestilence doesn't know what day and night is. They'll walk anywhere. Oh, that's right. Diseases, diabetes, cancer, epilepsy, you name it. This is a pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at the noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side. Listen, since I've been a Christian, I got to imagine right now, there are more people that have been murdered since I was a kid. There's people going into schools and killing. Come on. There's how many thousands have died in the Syrian war, in the Iraq war? How many? It says thousands may fall at your side and 10,000s at your right, but it shall not come near you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're here because God is watching over us. Yes, he is protecting us. We think this, oh, well, this is for them. No, this is for now, today. Come on, every day, someone's getting brutally murdered. Someone's getting kidnapped and murdered. The girl in Wisconsin, I believe, took an Uber ride and gone, found burned up. Come on, we live in atrocious day. We live in perilous times. But God said, many will fall by your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because we are the children of the Most High God. He watches over us. He watches over you. Can I get an amen? Look at that. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, even who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Is your home a dwelling place of the Lord? You have to ask yourself this. I was so blessed a couple of years ago. We went in to pray for Brother Manuel, Sister Vera's husband. We walked in, and all I saw was the Word of God everywhere. The presence of God was in there. Scriptures on the door, scriptures on the wall. It was God is the focal point of that home. And this is how we should live. Can I get an amen? Honoring the Lord, worshiping Him, praising Him. Your place should be a sanctuary where unbelievers will come in and say, man, there's something different about your home. Yeah, it's God who lives here. And guess what? He can live in your home too. By faith. No evil shall befall you. No any plague will come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. For those of you that were here Wednesday night, I shared this brief testimony when I first just got saved. You know, God delivered me from perilous drugs, some really hardcore drugs like crystal meth and cocaine. Yeah, Pastor Fee, you were, yeah, I was. I was drinking alcohol and smoking. I did all those things. But the thing that really was affecting me, especially in my heart, was the crystal meth. So when God saved me, immediately, I didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal. He delivered me. One of the things that I still loved to drink was coffee. And I heard God saying, refrain from that right now. I'm healing your heart. And so I was working at Western Lumber. I drove into the Circle K because I
just wanted a cup of coffee. And so I didn't know how to truly discern God's voice and really obey it, but I just felt he was saying, refrain from it. But I went in there anyway. It was about 5:30 in the morning, right there on National Boulevard going into National City. There's a Circle K right there. And I pulled in. I got out of my car. I was the only car in the parking lot. Walked in, said hi to the guy at the counter, walked around, started pouring me a big old cup of coffee. And I was stirring it up. Man, this is going to taste real good right now. And then this man walks in. He goes right past the counter person, and he comes and he stands right in front of me, and he speaks to me. He says, "You are not to drink this right now. Put it down. Don't drink it, please." I looked at him like, and so I just put it down. And then he walked away and he walked outside. I said, "Wait a minute." And I walked around the counter and I went outside. There was no one there. I went around the building. I was the only car parked in there right now. I finally came to a conclusion that God sent an angel. To tell me, don't drink that right now because I'm still healing your heart. Because I remember I had a cup prior to that and I was feeling real, my heart was racing. It was like I wasn't feeling right. And God had to send an angel to save me from myself. "I shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Last little testimony. I was living in a two-car garage in Paradise Hills. And I walked in because the restroom was in the hallway. So I walk in and I'm waiting because someone's in there. And so the person that was in there, his bedroom door was open. And I never saw his bedroom and it was wide open. And I kind of glanced in and right on his bed was a magazine that was opened. And as I drew closer, I walked in and go, "What is that?" It was a porno book. And as soon as I saw it and I was reaching for it, I heard a loud voice saying, "No!" I looked around and I didn't see anyone. But I heard, "No." I dropped that thing, man, and I ran out of there. And I knew it was an angel from God keeping my heart right before him. Because at that time, I was bringing souls to North Park Apostolic Church, man. You heard Bishop. Bishop called me the soul winner. I couldn't do that if my mind was dirty. He kept me from that because the word of God says, "I will keep angels in charge of you if you walk upright before me." I'm hoping I'm helping someone this morning that you would trust the Lord, that you would return to the foundations of God if you have astrayed. And God has shown me as we come in for a close, we must ask God continually for cleansing. Aren't you so thankful that we have washer and dryer machines? Because just imagine if you never washed your clothes. I think as soon as you walk in, someone would know it. Can I get an amen? Well, guess what? Our spirit, it gets soiled too. From the cares and the affairs of this world, from the culture of this world, from the things that we shouldn't see, the things that we shouldn't listen to, the things that we allow to enter in. Then God says, "Come to me and let me cleanse you."
When the foundations around us crumble, it's time to look within ourselves, asking the Lord to reveal any sin in our lives. Then we must confess it and repent from it by making a determined choice to turn away from that sin and run to God. I'm trying to help us this morning. Can I get amen? And guess what? By the help of the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God, God will complete His Word. God will strengthen us. God will heal us. God will do the miraculous in our lives. Can I get amen? Here's the key. God's Word. It's easy to run to someone. Oh, help me, I'm in this. Well, okay, I understand. And you get comfort that way. That's okay. But that won't deliver you. Someone's kind gesture won't deliver you. Someone's program won't deliver you. God's Word will deliver you. Look at this. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from. I heard Brother G say, oh. Some of you saying some? No, it's all sin, huh? All sin. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Oh, that one hurts. Saints, if we deal with our sins, they will not hinder our prayers. How many want answered prayer? All right, get the sin out. Listen, if you want God's best, walk with a pure heart. That's something that we can do. Listen, he's cleansed us from eternal sins. We're heaven bound now. Can I get amen? But day by day, there's issues in our heart that God is saying, give that to me. Just give that to me. This is not a salvation issue. This is a faith walk with him. This is walking in God's glory. I want the best he has. How many want the best you want from him? Listen, if you want the best, listen. I'm gonna make it as simple as possible. Those of you who are married and you love your wife, you love your husband, don't you want to be faithful to one another? Don't you want to be true to one another? And when you have concerns, you come together and you reason together. You work things out. But it's always to restore, to rebuild, to continue. That's what God is looking for us. He's looking for that we would do the same with him. And that when we come in that right place with him, he pours out, man, immeasurable blessings upon your life. And that's what I love about him, is that he will bless you in the time of your need. But we got to know that he's there for us, not against us. Because the word of God is clear. And I'll move on from this point. But God said it. I'm glad he said it. It's not, well, Pastor Free, I don't know, you know. No, God's word said this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Hello? So if we harbor those things, meaning unconfessed stuff, you could pray all day long. He says, I don't hear you because you're not right with me. Wow. I didn't think you would. You didn't come for a message like that this morning, did you? Well, we must be willing to encourage others. We're going to move quickly. How many believe that we need to learn to love one another? Huh? I'm going to move quickly now because time, well, I want to be obedient to the time. We must be willing to encourage others. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover what? A multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. We all been received a gift. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let them do as it has the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and forever and forever. Last but not least, we need to pray for revival. How many know that this nation needs revival? Huh? This place needs revival. And God's word has to revive us. We need to pray for revival. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. And here's the key. If my people, say that with me. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their what? Wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and heal their what? Okay. You know what? In our foundations class, I challenged those in our class to remember scripture. And thank God, a lot of you just know, you guys know that scripture. It's right up here. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive, forgive their sin. Wow. And then he'll heal their land. You see, that's God's prodigal. He's a God of order. You seek him, then you turn, and then you cry out to him, and then you must turn from the wicked ways. He's talking to believers, not unbelievers. He goes, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. How many of you want your land and your sins forgiven? All right, just walk uprightly before him. Love him with your whole heart. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. And all the time? Amen. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. We need to remember mercy. Can I get amen? And last but not least, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm going to ask Brother Josh to come up. And I'm going to ask right now, those right now that need a blessing from God. Hallelujah. Right now, if there's a request that you need to make known unto God, come to the altar. And listen, you don't have to say it out loud. All you have to do is say, God, hear my cry. Some of you battling in areas of your humanity, I don't need to know what it is, and I don't want to know what it is. You say, God, help me in my struggle. Some of you may have financial necessities right now. God said, I will open up the heavens and pour out blessings upon you. He wants to do mighty works in our lives. I want to thank and praise God for Brother Augie to bring his family in, his friend. Brother Angel's best man is here. But if you're here this morning and you want God to just touch your life, come on down. We'll pray for you right now. Amen. How many believe that God has the answers to our life? He knows the struggles we have. That's right. Come on down. Brother G, Sister Stacy, can you come down and help me pray?
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.